time. 31 days, 31 podcasts. 31 days, 31 podcasts. Prepare yourself for helpful snowman quadrilling.
Hey everybody, welcome to another one of these. We have a very special treat for you today. Very special because I can't remember if we did it before. I do need somebody to... I've put Poonmaster Flex on the job, but so far she hasn't gotten around to it. Because, you know, she's like a busy adult with a real life who hasn't been able to do everything that I've asked her to do because it's like a million things. However, one of the things is, you know, I'm not sure if she managed to go through my old Potaweens and make me a spreadsheet list of things that I've covered because I don't really remember. However, I don't think we've done this before. And even if we did, it was a while ago. So a while ago, I did a, it was October of 2015, so it's been 3 years now. I did an article for Lit Reactor called Every Goosebumps Book Summarized in One Sentence. In One Sentence. In One Sense. By smell. Inspired by, you know, a fellow writer there had done an every Stephen King novel summarized in 140 characters or less. So I did in one sentence. And that's what we're going to do. Now, you may remember once long ago, we went through all the presidents and, I basically did a roast of our U.S. presidents. And after each president, I would play a little sound effect, which isn't very loud right now. Hold on. But, that's the sound effect. So that's how you know that that's done and I've moved on to the next one. So we're going to just go through today. So if you read this before, I don't know what to tell you. Fuck off. This is the out loud version. And if you haven't, get ready for a treat. Warning, this does contain spoilers for the original Goosebumps series, the movie The Stuff, the Rocky Saga, and also The Sixth Sense, for some reason. All right, here we go. Welcome to the Dead House. The classic struggle of inheriting real estate from a great uncle only to find out your new home is on Zombie Avenue, USA. Stay out of the basement. Two bastard kids spend 160 pages doing the exact opposite of what the title advises. Monster blood. Kid is convinced to buy a surprising miracle substance that doesn't directly mention erections but does cause a dog to double in size. Say cheese and die. We learn that it's never a good idea to steal a haunted camera or really any object from a man who goes by the name Spidey. Curse of the Mummy's Tomb. The real title should be Curse of the Mummy Hand a Kid Bought at a Garage Sale, and somehow no one has a problem with this except other mummies. Let's Get Invisible. The moment R.L. Stine probably regretted wasting Spooky Attic, Invisibility, and Haunted Mirror in the same book. Night of the Living Dummy. A hilarious dummy makes fun of old people and vomits green liquid all over an overweight principal and is unfairly railroaded for entertaining people exactly as he's supposed to, even though he may have tested sympathies when he strangled a dog. The Girl Who Cried Monster. A lonely, homely librarian is shamed for eating live snails and turtles. Hashtag check your privilege. Welcome to Camp Nightmare. Not even kidding, this book for children ends with a boy being handed a rifle and told by a camp counselor to hunt the other campers in the woods, at which point the boy turns the gun on the camp counselor and fires. The Ghost Next Door. Holy shit, M. Night ripped off R.L. Stine, and I'm sorry to the thousands of you who read The Ghost Next Door and now have had The Sixth Sense spoiled, but how did nobody ever tell me this before? The Haunted Mask. May have watched the movie and cheated on this one. May have watched not the exact right movie. And may have been reminded why we all loved Cameron Diaz. be careful what you wish for. Because for some reason, every genie is a huge jerk who definitely misinterprets wishes on purpose because they think it's hilarious. Piano lessons can be murder. A robotician hits a roadblock in making robot hands, decides the best option is to kill people, steal their hands, and then add robotic stuff onto them. Sort of the way a bad middle school scientist glues an egg timer onto a cooking spoon to cruise straight through to a C+ at the science fair. The Werewolf of Fever Swamp. The best part by far is what brings the family in this book to the Florida swamps. In a fit of good old-fashioned sciencing, Grady's dad decides to test the scientific hypothesis deer can live in Florida, already 100% true, by the way, by bringing a bunch of deer to Florida and seeing what happens. You Can't Scare Me, in which mud monsters are at fault for two boys having to write a 1,000-word essay entitled It's Wrong to Steal Living Things and Drop Them on People's Heads. One Day at Horrorland. The existence of the greatest theme park ever, with rides like a coffin cruise and deadly doom slide, is threatened by an ungrateful family of dweebs. Why I'm Afraid of Bees. Imagine The Fly, except it's called The Bee and was made in 1994, and being good at skateboarding plays a pivotal role, and then you've pretty much got it. Monster Blood 2. I'd like to take this moment to recommend a film called The Stuff for its lazy title and great evil yogurt premise that seems to parallel the Monster Blood books quite nicely, minus enormous hamster, plus a picture of a guy's face melting. Deep Trouble. A man named Dr. Deep and his muscular graduate student are doing something on a boat that doesn't matter because the sexual overtones here are just too strong to allow thoughts of anything else. The Scarecrow Walks at Midnight. Finally, we get someone defeating a supernatural foe while saying the concise and always inaccurate, never again. Go Eat Worms. A creepy worm collector kid is a Raiders fan, always wearing his Raiders cap, and I'm pretty sure I should feel something about that as a Colorado resident, but football is really confusing, and there's the whole Bo Jackson factor, and frankly, I just don't have the energy. Ghost Beach. Okay, at this point, 22 books in, I have to say there is a shocking display of lazy, neglectful, borderline abusive parenting in these books, which usually involves leaving kids with weird aunts or uncles for months at a time, and I just wish these parents had done a little more family planning and thought about whether they really wanted children in the first place. Return of the Mummy. The same kid from the last Mummy book manages to end up in Egypt, again, lost in a pyramid, again, and screws around with spooky artifacts, again, and it's still pretty hard to feel bad for a kid who carries around a mummy hand, which is a human hand, by the way, an actual hand that belonged to a person and was mummified for religious purposes beyond some jerk-ass kid carrying it around to show his buds and make a bong out of it in college, (somehow, probably). Phantom of the Auditorium. Is the school auditorium haunted, or is there just a bum living in forgotten corridors under the school? And the real question, which is the worst indictment of the state of American education? Attack of the Mutant. A pudgy comic book nerd named Skipper has a pretty lousy time, as one might expect for a pudgy comic book nerd named Skipper when he's sucked into a comic book world and doesn't have ass-kicking powers and a ponytail. My Hairiest Adventure. Some kids use an untested tanning product and suffer the consequences, and also another kid is known for wearing a Raiders hat, and this seems to be an ongoing theme that I can't understand without really getting into a lot of NFL history, and screw that, I'll just wait for Goosebumps 385, the hauntedest Raiders hat, to show up. A Night in Terror Tower. Resisting time travel up to this point is really a badge of honor for the series, but let's face it, it was inevitable. The Cuckoo Clock of Doom. I spoke too soon about time travel as Stein double ups and jumps right back into the soupy waters of time travel in the very next title, but the main character does use it to wipe his sister from existence, so kudos for taking it way further than necessary after a tame first outing. Monster Blood 3. It's very strange to me that the most recurring character in the Goosebumps universe, the Gooseiverse or Bumpiverse, if you will, is a tub of goo that just seems to make stuff big when you eat it, not to mention the recurring cast of Monster Blood characters who seem almost willfully unable to learn a lesson about why it's a bad idea to ingest concentrated, viscous evil. It Came from Beneath the Sink. A valuable lesson is learned here. You can't just throw away a monster that is ruining your life. A lesson parents can impart to children if they follow my advice and screen Basket Case for their kids at the appropriate age of 4. Night of the Living Dummy 2. Why the kids who previously owned a living dummy didn't dispose of it is one question, but perhaps the more interesting question, why did they stuff an entire sandwich inside the dummy's head before they gave him away? Really? The Barking Ghost. I almost cut myself off there. The Barking Ghost. There's a strange aspect of these books in that they all have weird, unnecessary details, such as the main character in this book collecting snow globes, which is the kind of character trait reminiscent of the way a Nicolas Cage character will eat yellow and red jelly beans from a martini glass for no reason. The Horror at Camp Jelly Jam. Each of these books has a tagline on the front, and with this one, tennis, ping pong, monsters anyone? I think we hit an all-new low just by naming things and ending with, oh, and by the way, there's monsters, so hang in there. Revenge of the Lawn Gnomes. A gnome's come-to-life story badly masks the true tale of domestic problems manifested by parents arguing over whether or not plastic flamingos and other kitsch items belong in a front yard, which, for the record, they absolutely do, and you're wasting your yard with natural beauty. A Shocker on Shock Street. Yeah, they should have just called those Freddy movies A Nightmare on Nightmare Street, because why use more words than you have to? The Haunted Mask 2. A bunch of kids are supposed to stay out of the basement because that's where the haunted masks are, and the kids definitely don't stay out of the basement because there's nothing kids in these books like more than not staying out of a basement they're supposed to stay out of. The Headless Ghost. Are most ghost stories where the ghost wants something, a head returned, a videotape copied, whatever, and uses confusion, terror, and indirect communication to get it just metaphors for the way people communicate in romantic relationships, or am I just a sad introspective sack who can't even enjoy a headless ghost without thinking of where my life has gone wrong? The Abominable Snowman of Pasadena. More like the adorable snowman of Pasadena who saves a girl's life by hugging warmth into her, thereby getting us a happy ending and really pissing off a 12-year-old Pete who read a Goosebumps book and didn't expect it to end with a restorative hug. How I Got My Shrunken Head. Well, an old lady just kind of showed up and gave it to me, but it turns out we're buddies, and I'm retitling this adventure Head and Me, The Quicksand Escape. Night of the Living Dummy 3. There's something about dummies where it's okay to have them get really violent in these books, punching a child in the face and watching a group of living dummies pounce on another dummy and beat the bejesus out of him. Bad Hair Day. Magician turns out to be evil asshole rabbit, a minor twist on the evil asshole human magicians we are accustomed to, a plot that seems blown by the cover, no? Egg Monsters from Mars. At one point, the egg monsters form a living, sentient blanket of scrambled eggs to save a boy's life, but I kind of feel like being covered by a sheet of scrambled eggs while preserving your biological function may not really save your life. The Beast from the East. If you've ever played a game of tag with that jerk neighbor kid who keeps making up rules like penalty rocks and made in the shade and level 3 classic clone, actual rules from this book, then you've got a pretty good idea how this one goes. Say Cheese and Die Again. This book starts with the main character narrating the plot of this book's prequel to his English class, a report for which he receives an F, which is kind of great as the reality is that R.L. Stein is giving himself an F for his own book. Ghost Camp. And now we're just putting spooky nouns in a bag, picking them out, and slapping the word camp on the end. How to Kill a Monster. Once again, there is one place in a castle that children are told not to go, and they go there almost immediately, interrupting a monster who takes a break from eating pancakes to chase them around for a while. Legend of the Lost Legend. Culled from the original title, the legendary legend of the legend of the lost legend of the legend legend. Attack of the Jack-O-Lanterns. If you're turned off by flashbacks and it was only a dream, I would suggest skipping the first 2/3 of this one and then also the last 1/3, as the ending seems almost designed to make humans unhappy. Vampire Breath. Look, when it comes to vampire stories, let's just assume everyone's a vampire and not worry about it, and instead let's focus on the ending, which mirrors my own life in that the sighting of an air hockey table in any situation is an incredible relief. Calling All Creeps. I wonder how much time is spent deciding which titles warrant an exclamation point. Beware the Snowman. A family decides that the winters in Chicago suck too hard and they move to the Arctic Circle, RL's ultimate fuck you to Chicago climate and her people. How I Learned to Fly. Stars a boy named Jack Johnson who falls through a beach house floor, finds a book called Flying Lessons, and uses the philosophy inside to get girls. And I will pose the theory that, other than the actual flying, this is the secret origin of singer-songwriter Jack Johnson. Chicken Chicken. For which the description is this, and it's that picture of Kramer's head on a turkey's body from Seinfeld. Don't Go to Sleep. A young boy wakes up in a 16-year-old body, and you can just feel the onanism happening so fast and furious between every chapter break. The Blob That Ate Everyone. In the end, the tale is actually being read aloud by the blob monster in a workshop-ish situation, and the true monster is the person who suggests a completely different ending that misses the entire point of the blob monster's work. The Curse of Camp Cold Lake. I'd be remiss if I didn't use slash waste this one to just mention how, even in this late in the series, the cover game is pretty strong. My Best Friend is Invisible. Sigh, how is it that as soon as I compliment something about this series, it comes back to bite me in the ass because this cover blows? Deep Trouble 2. The connection is pretty loose to the original, but it does involve the sea, so whatever, and it does carry on the rich tradition of a child who seeks revenge on another child after being the victim of a prank, and doing so by initiating a prank that would almost certainly kill the original prankster. The Haunted School. I feel like the Goosebumps Wiki says it best. Despite the title, there are no ghosts in this book. Werewolf Skin. An alternative to the werewolf lore where werewolves hide in their skins and put them on for the full moon, and a delight to furries everywhere. I Live in Your Basement. The ultimate use of It Was All a Dream, including a chapter that ends with the cliffhanger, It Wasn't a Dream, and then the revelation of, wait, yep, totally a dream. And Monster Blood 4. Monster Blood is clearly the Rocky of the Bumpaverse. 4 is a case of going totally off the rails. 5 will probably be an unmitigated disaster, and Monster Blood Balboa will undoubtedly catch me unaware and leave me a complete mess of tears and joy. Well, there you have it. Whoomp, there it is. That is our list of Goosebumps books. I hope you enjoyed that, you fuck. Because that took me a lot of work. Both times. Well, regardless of how you felt about it, it's over now, and we'll see you tomorrow.